Today's Peanuts Gallery is brought to you by Thurl Ravenscroft. Thurl Ravenscroft, when you absolutely, positively want people to know,
no dogs allowed.
And also birds.
For some reason.
Once I have written a theme song, it will go here.
This is Peanuts Gallery. I'm Molly Lewis.
And I'm Josh Kagan. And this is our special Autumn Times Homecoming special.
Woohoo!
Specifically, our Snoopy Come Home
Ming special. We'll fix it in post.
No, we won't. And we have to befit this, our second feature movie presentation podcast, we have two extra special guests with us. We have, all the way from the Maximum Fun Network, we have Allegra Ringo and Renee Colvert from Can I Pet Your Dog?
Hello!
Hi, guys! Thanks for having us!
Yay!
We did it!
Good job!
That's a wrap! And we even have an actual dog in the room right now. We have Mr. Banjo L. Kagan, who has been on the show.
Oh!
On your show.
Oh, yeah. I thought he'd been on the show.
Yeah. Oh, he's on a lot of episodes.
He's on every podcast.
He was very featured on Can I Pet Your Dog?
He's a star.
Yeah.
He's still getting fan mail.
It is.
We get emails, what would you say, like 2-3 times a week saying, enough with the banjo fan mail.
Oh, yeah.
We can't, our offices can't hold it.
No, yeah, it's coming out their ears.
Yeah, good job, guys. So, way to have a fan dog.
Chill out, Fanjos.
Yeah.
That's what I got to say to you. I wish I had come up with it. Somebody on the internet was like, oh, I'm such a Fanjo. And I was like, oh, I'm grossed out, but let's keep it.
But also, that's
that's really good.
But also, that's real good.
Today, we are talking about 1972's Snoopy Come Home, the second feature film in the Peanuts canon, and unlike A Boy Named Charlie Brown, which was a huge hit, Snoopy Come Home was a dog, for lack of a better word. And we're going to talk about why that might have happened.
Got some theories.
Molly, I had seen this movie a bunch of times growing up. This was your first time seeing it.
True. And my second, concurrently.
we watched it real quick right before the show.
Gotta study it up. Gotta cram it in there.
Nothing to cram. What were your thoughts on it, seeing it for the first time?
I mean, it seemed to just be a 22-minute sort of standard peanut special, but crammed to the edges full of blandishment.
Yes.
You know?
Packed into an 80-minute package.
Yeah, before we sat down, we described it as a regular special, but put through a taffy pull.
Yes.
And that's exactly what it feels like.
Allegra and Renee, was this your first time seeing it?
It was.
Yep, my
too.
Wow, all around the table.
Can you believe? I know.
Yeah. What happened in your childhood that you saw it so much?
Well, I'm old. I'm old as fuck. So I got anywhere from like 15 to 20 years on people on this. So it was on VCRs. It was on TV. It was just, and I loved Peanuts growing up.
Sure.
I didn't see it again until like within the last 10 years. My wife and I saw it at a local theater and we were struck that it's 90% children crying.
So much crying.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
So much crying. There are people at Irish wakes who are like, hey, why don't you tone it down a little there, kids? This is weird.
To the point, do you think that maybe they developed tear technology right before they made this, and the guys were like, let's go balls to the wall. As many tears as possible. We just learned how to put it in. Let's just keep it coming.
Blandishers, what do you have for us? Oh, we have a new tear technology.
But what's technology in 1970? We got a blue pen, guys.
Yeah.
We got a blue pen.
Right.
And we're going to make it work. Renee and Allegra, what were your opening thoughts, having not seen this before? Are you both Peanuts fans, Snoopy fans?
Sure. Now, I've got a dark past of musical theater, so I am very well versed in Your Good Man, Charlie Brown, Smash Hit Musical, and Revival, 1996. So that brought me into the Peanuts thing. I love the specials. I guess I'm not that familiar with the movies, and because I'm not familiar with the movies, I was like, oh, there's a reason I don't watch the movies. They were all like this one, but turns out this maybe is the exception.
It's very bad. A Boy Named Charlie Brown. A Boy Named Charlie Brown, in my opinion, is, along with A Charlie Brown Christmas and You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown,
sure,
probably my top three favorite Peanuts-related things.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Allegra. Mm-hmm. You did not know this was a movie.
Okay, look, you guys. Well, let me say also, we grew up, I would describe us as like a Peanuts household growing up. My mom loved them as a kid. And so we in turn, but we did also, but we watched only the TV specials. And like we loved Charlie Brown Christmas and Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. That's also a TV special.
Totally.
Right?
And mm-hmm. two of the best.
Yes, two of the best, exactly. We always watched like the holiday ones. Like Charlie Brown Christmas, to this day, I can tell you every word of it. Mm-hmm. And I guess I just assumed, I was like, well, those were great hits. We all love those. I'm going to guess and not look into the length of the rest of these things. I just assumed they were all 28 minutes or whatever. And then I watched this and I was like, why is this an hour and 20 minutes?
Oh, no, I'm stuck in the upside down. Yes. Time has no meaning anymore.
But like you guys said, it was so long, but like I kept waiting for a movie type thing to happen. It didn't really, it could have just been a TV special.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are we talking about here?
I think if you can do a synopsis in one sentence, which you can with this movie.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't go over an hour.
Yeah.
Maybe just that. Just that. If you can do it in a sentence, don't get to go over an hour.
Well, yeah. that's a fine segue. We always kick this off with a synopsis. Here's mine. Synopsis. A dog goes away and comes back and goes away and comes back. Also, he punches two children in the fucking face.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Synopsis. Molly, anything you want to add to that?
No, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
The movie starts.
And how long did that take? That took like, what, 30 seconds?
That's about it. They could have knocked that whole thing out.
Yeah.
That could have been like an MTV video length.
Exactly.
It's a Vine.
It could have been a Vine.
Right.
R.I.P.
The movie starts with an opening credit sequence that lets us know one thing and one thing immediately. Vince Guaraldi did not do the music for this movie. As is podcasting tradition, I looked at Wikipedia 45 minutes before we recorded this, and I will now pass this off as entirely my own information that I just knew. Schultz, for this movie, wanted it to have more of a Disney feel. He wanted the music to feel more Disney. So he went out and found the two Disneyest people that he could get for the $45 that they were paying. He got the Sherman Brothers, who wrote, among a million other Disney things, all of the music for Mary Poppins, as well as possibly one of the worst songs ever written, the It's a Small World song.
I didn't know that was them.
That's them.
Oh, what a disaster.
Yeah, they're trying to keep it covered up, you guys. They're trying to make sure nobody knows.
We're going
to
get sued.
And they are fantastic. Please, Disney bounders, do not bound after me with hate and anger and impeccable cosplays. The music for Mary Poppins is wonderful. Mm-hmm. The music for this movie is terrible.
Well, they can't all be hits.
There are no hits.
After, you know, Bedknobs and Broomsticks and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and The Parent Trap, like, they had to strike out somewhere.
Yeah.
And here it was. It doesn't feel right for this universe, especially when Vince Guaraldi is so very funky.
Yeah.
He gives sort of this milquetoasty animated universe a backbeat and a backbone, whereas the music in this, It's all those like Lawrence Welk arrangements. It sounds like Up With People. Like it's just, and it's really, it's cloying and bad.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry.
No, please go for it. I have a conspiracy theory, which can absolutely win.
No.
We're all about conspiracy theories.
Let's lead off with conspiracy theories.
Yes, please.
Here.
So 72, was that the time where artists were contracted to the studio? Had that fallen away by that point? Because my conspiracy theory is that they were contracted to Disney and they had to go to Disney and be like, hey, can you guys let us out to go work on this Charlie Brown thing? And they said, yeah, so long as you make it the worst movie ever. Do you suppose maybe that was it?
That's a pretty cool theory.
I absolutely buy that.
See, my theory was, because here's the mind-blowing thing about this production. It had a budget of $1 million.
Yeah, that's insane.
And it made back how much, Josh?
It cleared just about $200,000 to $250,000. It made back a quarter of its budget.
So ouch. My theory is that the Sherman Brothers cost $750,000.
Oh, they had to.
Yes.
We're going to give you some of that supercalifragilistic magic.
And they did. We'll get to that.
Because there's literally that song in this movie, except by one of possibly my favorite characters in the Disney canon, Clara.
Clara.
Or Carla.
Carla.
It doesn't matter. She's never mentioned by name. But we will get to her. Or as my, as Kayla said when she was walking through me watching it, going, oh no, it's turned into Misery.
Yes.
For a hot minute, it turns into Misery. But at the top of the movie, nothing really happens in the first act, but going along, going along with Renee's theory that they had just developed tear technology, I guess in 1972, beaches had just been invented.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they're very excited about everybody being at the beach.
Yeah. They got a blue pin and a brown pin.
Get this! Get brandishing! Charlie Brown and Linus talk about rocks for 32 seconds.
But it feels like 32 minutes.
Yes. Charlie Brown throws a rock. Linus is like,
nice going, Charlie Brown. It took that rock 4,000 years to get to shore, and now you've thrown it back. Everything I do makes me feel guilty.
All right, let's move on. Bring in the Doodle Town
now
Buzzers.
To other characters.
Yes. We get that footage of Snoopy surfing that we have now seen in 1,000 specials. Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
And then he and Peppermint Patty have a picnic. And I guess that's our first plot point. Because she's like, and you should come back tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's, and then now we're on the edge of our seat.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, what's going to happen tomorrow?
Picnic. What's Peppermint Patty got in store for tomorrow?
Does she have a time in mind? That was my question the whole movie. How would he know what time to come? What, all day tomorrow?
And she talks about everything she's going to put in her picnic basket.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I know that.
There's going to be sandwiches and yeah, soda.
I know
and
what
then,
a picnic
yes,
is.
We get it. What time?
And I don't want to poke holes in this, but Snoopy wasn't allowed to come back the next day, but he was allowed that day.
They, yeah, the whole day.
So how did he sneak through on one day, but he couldn't sneak through on the other day?
It seems like there what we're talking about is the next day we get the introduction of the film's lone running gag that everywhere Snoopy wants to go, a no dogs allowed sign has been erected.
Yes.
I think there was just – maybe it was just some sort of like – town-wide, if not statewide, initiative.
Sure. Yeah, that day. That was the last day.
Like,
yeah.
Maybe they were all, maybe they all went to the beach on that Sunday, and then it was Monday, and it's a new, you know, new work week for grown-ups.
Right.
And they're like, we gotta put these signs up. There's word on the street that there is a dog who walks as a man. And he's yeah. terrifying everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, we can now move freely about the plot.
Molly did not make the air quotes when she said plot, but just imagine.
I mean, we've already covered the entirety of the plot. He goes to the library and like laughs too loud and he gets kicked out of the library. And so maybe just they saw him carving it up, just carving up some surf, and they went, no more of that.
No.
Right.
We can't have this dog wrecking shit.
Maybe it was other surfers who were like, we're not going to let this guy
what
eat our lunch on our beach.
It's like a surfer territorial kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like Point Break or whatever.
Yeah, totally. There was a whole episode of Chips about that.
I can totally stand behind that.
You get to see Eric Estrada use a lot of lingo. I'm a big fan of when anybody uses lingo.
Yeah.
So after all of the excitement on the beach and learning exactly what Peppermint Patty is going to put into her picnic basket, we really want to kick the movie into overdrive. We cut to children playing Monopoly.
Oh, yeah. That was really crazy.
Thank God.
I can't. At that point, I feel like it's the animators trolling us. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you think this is a slow movie? We're going to play the slowest board game imaginable.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Also, I feel like it was a topical reference at that point. You know how, like, bad shows now will do, like, Cards or Cards Against Humanity?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They're like, yeah, we're hip. We're cool. Listen, we know what Monopoly is. We get out of this animation studio.
Monopoly invented in, like, 1904?
Of course. Of course it was. But they still wanted to be topical.
They didn't know that.
They still wanted to make sure, like, yeah, we know what board games are.
What do kids like? Here's what they like. They like the beach.
Yeah.
They like surfing.
Yes.
And they like long, long board games right. about real estate.
They like Monopoly. They like the Columbian Exposition. They like waffle cones, which just were invented.
I'm positive.
Precisely.
And Lucy gets to say a very Lucy thing. Everybody is very, I will say this, the world of this movie does not feel on model. It doesn't necessarily feel like Schultz's strip. The characters very much are. And I think Lucy's first line in the entire movie is, I'm going to destroy you financially.
Yeah.
Economically. We're going to take you down.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
It's, and it's wonderful. But Charlie Brown, this is obviously too rich for his blood. He goes to the window and does the thing that he basically, Basically, Charlie Brown spends almost the entire time almost on the verge of passing out or just staring out a window going, where's my dog?
Yeah. Yeah. Or rattling Linus by the shoulders. Just roughing him up.
Yeah. Yeah. If we're not sticking with the plot, there's a point in which Linus maybe has a clue where Snoopy went. And Charlie Brown's first thing to do is grab him by the neck collar. Tell me more. Linus, like, I just said I was going to. I came to you with that exactly, Charlie Brown. I have information.
If you would just
could let go of my shirt collar if you needed to. Yeah. Crazy.
I did not have pets growing up. In fact, Banjo is my first dog.
Oh, great work.
I'm familiar. Yeah. I built him myself, my junior cloning kit. I know cats are allowed to have free dominion over the earth. Dogs do not, right? There's no neighborhood ever where, and I understand Snoopy is an exceptional dog, but I've always thought this about cats as well. Any pet where you have part of your relationship is that they are gone for 8 to 10 hours a day feels like a very different kind of
relationship. And sort of a roommate sort of relationship, really.
Yes. Yeah. And Charlie Brown even says this later on, like, I don't consider myself a dog owner. I've always considered myself a friend. We have two dog experts in the room here.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think this is a healthy dog and dog owner relationship?
Oh, absolutely not. No.
Oh, really?
Definitely not. Charlie Brown spends a good portion of that first act saying about, I do this for you and I worked hard to get your collar.
Yeah. Creepy as fuck after a certain point.
Conditional love.
Yeah.
You gotta love them unconditionally, which is healthier, I guess.
Yeah. Shrug emoji.
I thought that was very out of character. Like, part I was like, really? Like, I just didn't buy him saying, because I think up until that point, their relationship is pretty progressive in that, like, you know, later on in the movie, we see, what is the little girl's name who basically miseries him?
Oh, Clara.
Clara. Yeah. So she has, like, what I think of as a more traditional dog-human relationship at that time, especially, which is, like, she ties him up with a rope, she makes him, like, follow her around, she, like, tells him what to do. Whereas Charlie Brown and Snoopy, up until this point, to the best of my knowledge, have existed kind of like roommates where Snoopy, like, does his own thing. And then Charlie Brown, to me, out of nowhere, starts yelling at him like a weird, mean parent. I just didn't buy it.
It was, well, he did when everybody else was having the time of their lives playing Monopoly. Yeah. Charlie Brown was looking out the window and doing a lot of, like, he's been so independent lately, coming in at all hours and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's like a weird parent kind of almost or shitty relationship.
Yeah.
It's, I gotta say, I think I agree with, wait, you said this is a bad relationship. Oh, Renee.
Yeah, I think it's
this
bad,
is a bad relationship.
Yeah. It's one that took, I think, as of right now it is. But, like, before, I mean, in previous, look, if we're going, it's just a timeline. In previous, specials, he let Snoopy, like, win a Christmas decorating contest on his own. He wasn't that mad about that. But he's now mad that Snoopy is coming in at all hours. It's just inconsistent. I agree with you. This is now a bad relationship.
And something we've brought up on the podcast before is that the TV specials don't relate to the canon of the strips even a little bit.
Oh, okay.
And they don't really relate to each other a little bit. Because I thought the same thing. I was like, he cooked your Thanksgiving dinner. Do you remember?
Yeah.
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 Get that dog some independence.
That hot stove. Yeah. Do you know how long it took him to find jelly beans?
Did you see those pretzels?
and then finally he's even, Charlie Brown says something along the lines of, like, I even bought that collar. Yeah. And then Snoopy very dramatically takes it off and holds it up. And Charlie Brown's like, well, checkmate. I hate when he does that.
This move again.
So, which means that I guess they've had this conversation before.
That's true.
Ooh. I don't like to think about that.
And then, of course, it's off to the library for no reason whatsoever.
None.
Not at all.
It's just another establishment for Snoopy to get kicked out of.
Yeah.
But can we talk about Sally in the library scene?
Let's talk about Sally.
Yes, please.
Sally, well, it is canon for the series that Sally does not like school shit at all. She doesn't want to go to school. Right. She's not good at it. She doesn't like anybody, blah, blah, blah. And this, she doesn't want to learn how to read. Mm-hmm. Like somebody.
To the point that, like, Charlie Brown holds an open book in front of her and she turns her nose up. Like, I refuse.
I refuse. I know you're going to have me conjugating.
And splitting infinitives. We'll drop that quote right there.
Yeah. I know why you want me to go to the library. You're trying to trick me into learning how to read. That's what you're trying to do. Who cares about reading? The next thing you know, you want me to conjugate all those verbs and split those infinitives. I hate reading.
And then says just the most remarkable thing that I really would like to open this up to the group.
I just want to be a good housewife.
All I want is to be a good housewife.
Oh, yeah!
What the fuck is she basing that on?
Lucy. You know, I think everybody was just having, you know how sometimes you have an off summer? I think everybody was discovering themselves. They were all trying out new things and it just, none of it hit. Because later on, I know it's not consistent, but she's wants to be a psychiatrist, right?
Oh, that's Sally. Lucy is the psychiatrist. Sure. Sally is...
Oh, Sally.
Sally, the right, Kristen Chenoweth part from the musical.
Yes, thank you. I needed a reference. Okay.
And reading is her new philosophy.
Sure. Well, yes. Why are you telling me? in that case, yes, I feel like that tracks perfect. I'm on board.
But there are no grown-ups in the whole... How does she know what a housewife is? Like, there's no grown-ups. I guess there's grown-ups, but, like, what is her model for this?
That's sort of the problematic thing about the Peanuts universe is the sort of lack of authority figures. To the point that, within this podcast anyway, we've developed a theory that there was some accident that eliminated the grown-ups or rendered them immobile.
Yeah, turning them, we call them the meat lumps, and they're basically like gelatinous piles of stuff.
Right.
And they can only, and when they talk, it sounds like a muted trombone.
Right. So that's what you want, I mean, well, we that's what she wants to be?
We have another, well, we have a lot of theories watching all these goddamn things. That the only kind of information they really have about the outside world are like old cosmopolitans and cosmos and women's daily and just like books and old TV programs and things of that nature. Mm. Like, and there was a culture up until whenever the event happened. Mm-hmm. Because we've seen Lucy, like, when she's dealing with Schroeder, like, here's a trick to get your man to like you. And it's like,
true.
What? Oh, you're this, your mom has the worst toilet reading material.
Yeah.
The Van Pelts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe that is what it is.
Now, if she had said, all I want to be is a muted trombone, would we have got it? Would we have loved it?
Muted trombones don't need to read. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know where she would have picked up that housewives don't have to learn how to read.
Yeah, that's another weird one. Wouldn't they be reading like recipes and stuff by her own logic?
Maybe the husband did, like, just hope it has read pictures. It
right. Yeah, my or sweet
just
onion.
Points to a picture of a ham. Here you go, honey.
Make the ham.
This is what you're making.
My sweet Babu can read. It'll be fine.
And Snoopy reads a book called The Bunnies, which is apparently hilarious.
Yeah.
And is, boom, thrown out. And he just keeps getting thrown out of places.
And then, I think at the library, we're introduced to the sort of leitmotif of the special, which is Thurl Ravenscroft just saying, no dogs alone.
Yeah.
No dogs allowed.
And he writes a very angry letter has Woodstock write a very angry letter to the newspaper, mm-hmm. to the editor. Another little thing I picked up from the wiki. This was the first time in any of the specials or movies that Snoopy actually expressed his thoughts. Because, of course, he had the thought balloons in the strip. But in this was the first time that he would, at least the words would appear over the typewriter so we could see what he was thinking.
Not bad, Snoop. Look at you moving on up.
He communicated.
Look at you acquiring personhood.
Look at you. You don't have opposable thumbs, but I guess a bird does to type.
Or something.
Well, because he's quite sure. Well, you know how Woodstock types? Hunt and peck.
Yeah. Very good. We're all proud of you. We're all proud.
They just missed a high five, just for everyone listening.
I didn't deserve it.
Snoopy may not have opposable thumbs. He might not be able to type, but I'll tell you what he can do. He sure can punch a lot.
Yeah, that's... Oh, boy.
That's weird. A full 5 minutes of an 80-minute movie. I'm not going to do the math in my head, but a full 5 minutes of an 80-minute movie is just Snoopy walking up to one Van Pelt sibling and then another Van Pelt sibling and beating them both.
Both of whom are minding their own business. Uh-huh. Linus is... Just macking on his blanket like he does.
And Snoopy's
like, I'll take some of that. Thank you.
Well, Snoopy's real mad because he's not allowed. And maybe with behavior like this, Snoopy, this is why you're
That's
not allowed.
That's how that sign got put up,
yeah.
Snoops.
Yeah. He kicks in both of Linus's kneecaps.
You mentioned that in the TV edit, which you've seen probably more than the feature edit, they cut out a lot of this Van Pelt violence.
Yes. Oh. Because it's really weird. First of all, it's like this static, unbroken shot.
Yeah.
Of just...
I'll punch you in the face. Oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to kick you in the knee, and I'm going to kick you in the other knee. It's disturbing. It's not even cartoony, I guess.
And we're familiar with, like, the Charlie Brown sort of, sort of that noise, but this is not what Linus is made to do. He's, like, wailing. It's like genuinely like, oh, that boy is in pain. Someone call an ambulance. Oh, there's no, oh, because it's all lumps. Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's why.
Oh,
that's
dang.
Why. Yeah.
And then you say to yourself, well, at least that's the last time I'm going to have to hear children cry in this.
Precisely.
That's the only Van Pelt that's going to get beaten up. Nope.
Nope. He wanders over to Lucy's house. Lucy is just hitting a sack. She's got boxing gloves on. Molly looked up from her phone at that and was like, this is absolutely scary. I truly believe that this is what Lucy does in her spare time.
No, absolutely. Do you suppose that maybe these Mary Poppins boys were paid a handsome fee to do a montage song? And so they were required to fill all 5 minutes of the montage song. And they were like, oh, I don't know what else to do. I guess we'll just punch him again.
just keep punching. And then Snoopy. And at least there's a little more variance in the animation for the boxing match.
Yeah.
And it's cute. He puts the glove on his nose. But they keep smacking each other in the face. And I can't.
And then he goes back for seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not great. I'll say it's not good. Fine, whoa, I'll say it. It's bad.
You did look, say it's not good.
As two people who are Peanuts fans but had never seen this picture, what were your thoughts during an unbroken 5 minutes of Snoopy beating up children?
Sure, yeah. What a different time. And you have to fail to get better. Was mine. It was like, this was the exact opposite thing to do with Snoopy.
We're setting up a redemption arc.
Precisely. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Okay. So now we've learned this doesn't work. So we'll be better in the future. Is what I hope. I hope it was a learning opportunity. What I was thinking while it was happening. What would you think? Just like, man, this is a different time.
It was. Yeah. Definitely. Man, this is a different time. To me, it felt sort of on par with the rest of the movie, only in that, not in that the violence made sense, but in that it was like, why is this going on so long? It feels like they need to fill time, which is like every sequence where it was like, oh, okay, they're walking somewhere. It was like, oh, they're still walking somewhere, or he's still surfing. Everything was like a little too long. Mm-hmm. Like they wrote it all and then were like, shit, we're 10 minutes short. All right, just stretch out everything. Good, with
more
a little,
punches, more punches.
A little more. Yeah. And more punches, a little more walking. Like, just put little bits in there.
It's a movie with more bathroom breaks than movie.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
And important for a children's movie. My go-to example of that is the song Cheer Up Charlie from Charlie and the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Sure.
Scientifically designed for parents to take their children to the bathroom.
right.
I feel like with this movie, parents took their kids to the bathroom and then just kept walking.
Oh, yeah. Just didn't come back.
Yeah.
What do you suppose they did? A test run. And one punch got a laugh. And they were like, well, that's how you get a laugh around here.
Kids,
what do you think? 45 more?
Yeah.
45 laughs. 45 more punches.
Yeah.
And they're just literally sitting in the back of the screening room just
with a tally counter.
Hey, we got this.
Though I like your theory that, like, since they shelled out for the Sherman Brothers songs, they might as well just fill that. Just you can't cut any of that.
Yeah, we're not going to cut
fade
this.
Out.
Yeah.
No,
you know that's Sherman gold right there.
Yeah, exactly. Every penny will be on the screen.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. That would explain. That really would explain, honestly, the whole movie. Why is this so long? Oh, because they wrote the songs first and they had to fill them.
That makes sense.
Did they not have the technology to cut a track and just say like, oh, well, maybe we don't, or they're just like, we paid for all of it.
Yeah, they didn't get the stems or anything, I'm sure.
In 1972, it's just physical stems.
It's just a stack of tapes.
Yeah, there you go. And then it ends with a flower pot falling on Snoopy's head. And then after five unbroken minutes of violence, we cut to what feels like the actual opening of the movie. Like now we've got flute music and a lovely like verdant forest panning over to hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now the plot begins.
Dun, dun, dun.
We meet Lila, who a little blonde girl who is at the hospital. Before I go any further, I'll open this up to the table.
Yeah.
What do we think is wrong with Lila?
For why?
for why is Lila there? No one knows. Yeah, there's no indication. It was so curious that I was like, well, is she in a hospital? Is she in an insane asylum? Where is Lila?
Yeah, a very Los Angeles thought for me to have. I was like, oh, maybe she had exhaustion.
Lila's just in rehab at 8.
Oh. Just burning the candle at both ends. I got homework. I'm in color guard. Oh my God, I'm dancing as fast as I can.
It's as good an explanation as anything. Yeah. I was gonna ask you guys, because I was like everything with this movie, I was like, I must have missed something. I'll ask the group. They'll know.
Why is Lila there?
I don't know.
All that's clear is 3 weeks she's been in the hospital, which is a long time to be in a hospital.
It's a really long time. Yeah, she had Roger Ebert used to call it Ally McGraw disease, based on Ally McGraw and Love Story, where it's just a very bad disease, and the symptoms are you just become more dewy and beautiful and healthy looking. Like, so when you're at your absolute healthiest, that's when you're going to die.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. Did anybody else, just going back real quick, when they had, you know, Snoopy beating up the Van Pelts and then they cut to a hospital, did anyone else think for a moment that he put one of the Van Pelts in the hospital?
That's amazing.
Because that's where I went. I was like, oh, this is this movie is taking
real wrong. Yeah.
Snoopy come home from jail.
I like this. Okay, I like this movie so much better now. So here's what it is. And he knocks out one of the kids, and then he's going to go on the run.
Right. That would make way more sense, frankly.
Yeah, so much more. Yeah. Exactly.
Way more Snoopy. Exciting.
But instead, we have poor little Valium, just trying to kick Valium or whatever people were doing in 1970.
She's got the vapors.
Yeah, yeah.
She needs a daily dripper rose water mist or she'll swoon.
Exactly.
Oh, my.
I do miss my dog.
Or just a hypochondriac with lice. You're fine. You could have left a good 3 weeks
ago.
She
has the first helicopter parents.
Oh, like, yeah.
Something's very wrong. She got a B- on the test. Lock her up. And as if watching children playing Monopoly in real time wasn't exciting enough, we now watch a child write a letter in real time.
Very cool.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
She walks to the standard issue hospital desk.
Yes.
Yep.
Sits down, writes her letter.
She has a very nice room to herself. And I remember from my childhood thinking she has awesome slippers.
She sure does.
Which I think maybe clean the floor. They're like these awesome fuzzy deals.
They're like, have you seen the sort of romper that you put on your baby so that as they crawl, they clean the floor?
I'll get one for Banjo. Yeah. Were he to ever move.
Yeah, hold up your end, Banjo. You're getting too independent.
Out at all hours of the night.
Would.
We see where that letter ends up. Charlie Brown gets it, and of course, because in this universe, the only reaction you can have to any stimulus is anger or scorn, he looks at the letter and goes, I never get any letters.
Of course.
I had 15 pen pals, I had 14 gentlemen callers, one after the other. Nobody ever writes me and write my stupid dog who I don't even like. I bought that collar, hands Snoopy the letter, and Snoopy's like, gotta go.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yep.
And there's no, this occurred to me, like Snoopy puts on his little dog dish, gets Woodstock, gets his suitcase, and just runs. And Charlie Brown's like, what's happening? What's going on? And my first thought was, they're just walking.
Yeah.
Just go after them.
Yeah, you can probably catch them.
Yeah. There's just a dogma, man. Just get them. Just bring them back. But no, they wander off. And Charlie Brown's like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know who Lila is. And now this is Charlie Brown for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Before he was just kind of lachrymose and staring out the window and just being like, he was like Jim Backus in Rebel Without a Cause. Like, you almost expect him to be like wearing an apron and just stirring cookies or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Thoroughly emasculated by his own dog. but now he's just like screaming and yelling. And I guess he knows how to read. He's no Sally Brown.
Sure.
But he gets the information pretty easily, which is, I'm in the hospital. Please come see me. And for some reason, that's just not good enough for him. Mm-hmm. His first reaction isn't like, oh, child is sick and wants to see my dog. Oh, well, let's figure this out. We can all go together. But nope.
Nope.
He just basically all but rends his garment. and we throw to Snoopy and Woodstock on the open road, filmed in real time. Mm-hmm. I like their jaunty I know I've been throwing a lot of shade at the Shermans. I like their jaunty little walking song.
The first time.
Yes.
That's fair. That's
the other fair. Eight times, maybe not so much.
A very cute bit with Woodstock not being able to go over the grate.
I know, that's my favorite part.
Real cute. Real cute.
I thought that was very cute.
So Snoopy crosses the grate, no problem. Woodstock, yep. Oh, I don't know how to get through it. So he goes up one and back down the other, and up one and back down the other 10 times. And we get to watch it.
Five if you count the next grate. Yes, you thought that was adorable. At that point, I was like, just go around! Someone say you can fly go for around. Fuck's sake!
Go through!
What if I be? I'm yelling at a movie made for five-year-olds.
But also Snoopy in that instance rolls his eyes, kind of like representing us, the audience. He's like, the audience is bored of this. And then it's like, well, it still keeps going.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing to be done. All you right. will watch more. 10 well, more great ones. Yeah.
I like how it's almost like he's on our side. Like, I get it.
I know, but we can't. It's got to be 120 minutes.
We've paid for all of this Sherman music. Right. You understand. Yeah.
Hear me out. Listen, is the music still playing? It is. So we must continue.
Legally, we had no choice.
But yeah, back to Charlie Brown and all of his friends being like, Snoopy just left us with no regard for Lila in the hospital. Like, it's a little different than nowadays where we'd be like, GoFundMe, let's help her, let's get her. But nobody cares. No. Nobody's concerned
cares
at all.
Who cares about this garbage kid at a garbage hospital? Where's my dog?
Yes, exactly.
Let's definitely not, like, follow the return address or just go to that hospital, call an Uber, something.
Yeah.
Nope.
Though, Josh, as a dog owner, and actually I'll throw this open to all the dog owners at the table and dog adjacents.
We are all dog owners.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. So everybody but me. Hi. If you got a letter addressed to your dog saying, hi, I'm sick in the hospital and I would like for your dog to visit me, what would you do as a dog owner?
I would fall over my side, there'd be a me-shaped hole in the door with a little banjo-shaped hole. Of course, you take it. Here you go, kid. You want to see a dog? Here's your dog.
Yeah, that's pretty much my fantasy. I would come in and I would say, tell me what you have, Lila. What do you have that's putting you in this hospital? That's the caveat.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. I want to know. Then you can hang with the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd say, Venmo me $50, I'm in. Yeah. That's, no, I'm kidding. Of course, you're going to be there in a heartbeat. You're going to be there in a heartbeat. Yes,
personal
of course.
Appearances.
Yes.
Because she is in a room by herself, so she may be very contagious. But in the event that she's not.
It's like a nice room.
What were the hot diseases of 1972?
I was trying to think that, too. I have no idea.
When did mono get popular?
Ooh. Casey Kasem's countdown of disease.
She might have had mono. When did mono get popular? Well, they were big in Liverpool in the early 60s. And then they crossed the pond.
Yeah.
And monomania struck the country.
Believe me. That was a rough year my freshman year in high school because I didn't get it. Everybody got it. I didn't get it. I'm kidding.
Oh, really? Oh. Yeah. What was the mono time? That kind of seems real to me.
Keep her in for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Because then that one takes you out for a month or so. The kissing disease. Mm. And who's she kissing?
Lila.
Uh-oh. All right. That's why she's got helicopter parents.
Yeah.
spent too many minutes in heaven, Lila. It's 3 weeks in the hospital for you. Throw away the key, Arlet. We don't see... I think Molly pointed this out. I don't think Lila says actual words until Snoopy shows up.
There is a shot somewhere in the Snoopy traveling montage where they cut back to her and she just sighs and then we cut away.
Yeah, you're right.
No speaking parts for this lady.
No.
This movie wants you to know that it is boring.
Yeah.
Like with Snoopy looking out to the audience, people playing Monopoly, a child just looking into the middle distance and sighing. Like suddenly it's like a 1960s French movie. Like, like all she's missing is a cigarette and a baguette.
Limon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Snoopy and Woodstock walk and walk and walk and stick their feet in a crick and then walk and then play football and walk. Allegra, you must have thought was there a point in the movie where you thought it was never going to end?
Like, oh, yeah.
I'm stuck here forever.
It was the whole movie. I kept feeling like that feeling of waiting for it to pick up. And that also feeling of like, there's gotta be some information I'm missing. I must have spaced out and missed a key interesting thing. I just kept feeling like somehow this was my fault.
Oh no!
I should have understood better why this was a good movie. So like, I was relieved. I kept waiting for it to pick up, but never did. But like, getting here when everyone being like, what a doozy, made me feel like I'm no longer insane.
Oh no, not at all.
That's the function not of this whole podcast.
Yeah, like, okay, no. Thank God, you guys. Like, okay, I'm not crazy. That's fine.
Now. To the movie picking up, I will say that there is a point in the movie where the pulse is raised and there is shouting and singing and dancing and carrying on, but it is in service of watching a child basically beat a dog for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I thought the same, like Renee said, what a different time. It's like she's dragging him around. It's like kind of a little, it's cartoony, of course, but it kind of made me grimace a couple times.
Yeah, but the misery part, Clara? Is that what we decided? Clara?
Canonically for this podcast, her name is Clara.
Exactly. I will call her Kathy Bates. It's just Snoopy, just all over the house, dragging him everywhere, eventually puts him in a dress, sets him up for a tea party, spills tea. She spills the tea. So Snoopy gets tea on his dress, and then she's like, you naughty dog. And then like, it's Snoopy's fault, and then she beats Snoopy.
Actually spanks. Yeah. I didn't think, when she said, I'm going to spank you, I was like, there's no way she's actually going to. Yeah. And then she does.
For clarification for our audience, I would like to say that when she says, you naughty dog, she does not say it like Mabel.
You're right.
Naughty dog.
No. You naughty dog. You got your dress dirty. I'll have to spank you.
Yes, I think just that word in general, I'm just like, don't have a child say it. Just don't say it. Yes. Just don't have a child
it's
say
too
it.
Sexual.
Don't say that word. I don't like it. Yeah.
So to backtrack for those of you who blessedly have never seen this movie.
Yeah, don't watch it.
We're making a real hard sell, I know.
Snoopy and Woodstock walk, and then end up in some kid's backyard who is just playing with a pail and shovel. Because what a good time.
Yeah.
You fill the pail, you turn it upside down, you fill it again. That's the 70s. That's childhood. And Snoopy just sort of walks up to her like, oh, here's an easy mark. Maybe I can get a hot meal or something. I don't know why he's a hobo, but he saw the dog markings from other hobos. Like, oh, this is a great place. Dog hobos. And her response is to grab him by the motherfucking throat and say, I got a dog! Ma, I got a dog!
I found a stray dog. Ma, oh, Ma.
Cut to Snoopy tied up with a genuinely terrifying looking rope.
Yeah, it looks like a winter scarf. That's how thick the rope is. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's very on trend.
Yeah, yes.
That's the good thing. Snoopy looks
70s are all about big, chunky accessories.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So he looks terrific. And this child, Claire, is a motherfucking maniac.
Yeah, she's really crazy.
Yeah, truly nuts. And keep saying, my mom said this is okay. I've asked my mom. She said I can have a dog. Asked my mom. She said I can have it. So long as you go to the vet, you get your shots. If there is a mom, why is she allowing any
Do
of
we
this?
Think this might be in like a Norman Bates situation?
There's no mom.
That's
sure.
Yeah.
It's a dead lump.
Good point.
Are you implying that not only is the mom a lump, but she's also a preserved lump?
Just a lump skin rug somewhere. Yeah.
Oh no. She sprayed sprayed like clear lacquer on her to preserve her for always.
Have you guys heard, this is the first Peanuts child that I know of addressing, she calls her mom. Like she calls her mom or ma in the second person. Do any other Peanuts children address like their parents?
In the strip.
Peppermint Patty on occasion, I think.
Oh, she does.
Well, she'll refer to having parents. But any adults around for anybody to address directly.
And there's not a lot of parental permission. There's not really like, oh, my mom said that we can't let Snoopy wander to the next town.
Right, exactly. Right. I just thought it was weird to me to have her be like, hey, Ma, I got a dog. Hey, Ma, my mom says this. It felt very like out of that world to
me. Yeah. Yeah.
No mom. I vote no mom.
Yeah, too weird.
No
mom. It's just this girl rattling around with her pail and shovel, just waiting to have a tea party with anything.
Yeah. And she seemed to me to be like in the Venn diagram between Peppermint Patty and Marcy. She was the thing in the middle. You know, she had kind of that manic sort of Peppermint Patty energy, but the
neither of their good qualities.
No,
bad qualities.
And she sings. She's the only character in the movie who actually, except for a little choral singing at the end, she's the only character in the movie who actually opens her mouth and a song comes out. mm-hmm. in the song.
Yeah, you're right.
The song is so bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I've remembered it, all of these. Like, it's one of the few things that stuck with me from Snoopy Come Home mm-hmm. because it's, I think it's torture. It's a torturous song.
I'm a sentimental gal. I need a fundamental pal. I'll depend on you. You'll depend on me. Speaking psychologically, we'll both have fundamental friend dependability. Fundamental friend dependability. I'll have fun with you. You'll have fun with me. That's fundamental friend dependability.
Yeah, well, it's just you're being pelted with syllables. Is what is the? Because you described it as a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious knockoff.
It never occurred to me until I read that the Sherman Brothers wrote the music, and then I was like, oh, it's literally supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
What is the phrase? What is the analogous phrase?
It's like I think it is. It's something like fundamental friendamental ability. Fundamental friendamental ability. Zip it, tie you up with a rope. Yeah. Na, 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 come and
spill
meet my
some
mom.
Tea. Yeah.
She's
yeah.
in the basement. yeah, and she like washes him with, and like, it's just, Kayla walked into the room when I was watching it because she's always like, oh, Snoopy, this is, oh, nope.
Yeah, not this one. Yeah, and it's a stretch, but it does seem like, hey, you guys are good at putting big long words together. You're going to give us one of those. But they don't, because I think you're right. I think it's like fundamentally and dependability, which yes. don't completely rhyme. Mm-hmm. But they were like, they won't care. Disney, that he'll get mad if we do it right. So let's do it.
I never figured it out the whole time I was watching it. I was like, what? Like, a gun to my head, I could not repeat this phrase. I don't know what that's saying.
It's very weird. Yeah.
It's basically, it's like real words used in the service of nonsense. And she seems like the kind of person, Clara strikes me as the kind of person who does a lot of laughing and crying at the same time.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, while she's cutting her own hair.
She has a lot of emotions at once. And then they basically have like a Scooby-Doo / the Monkees chase through her house.
Yeah.
Which is like, what's that house on the coast that they kept building and building and building?
The Winchester Mystery House. Yes.
That's where Clara lives.
Yes.
It's just, there's nothing but just, there's 42 floors. There is a hallway that's just doors.
Yeah.
Specifically for running in and out of and slamming. Yeah. Maybe it's a B&B. Or Molly's thought was they were all podcasting studios.
That's what I would do. For my house, yeah.
For all of her fairy
streaming over here. And,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's so bizarre. I had the Allegra Ringo effect there. I'm like, what did I miss? Are they in a hotel? Yeah. I don't. Yes. How are there so many doors?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's the Bates Motel.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Maybe. Oh, no.
Snoopy's really lucky he got out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. The fundamental friendability B&B or something.
I thought you could try it. I mean, it may not hit, but give it a try. There we go. Okay. Watch the elbows. There you go.
Pass that to Renee, please.
What were they even, besides killing time? Because I always want to try and think, like, is this on theme? Mm-hmm. Are we trying to see like what different kinds of dog owners are like, and Snoopy has it so good with Charlie Brown he should have never left?
Sure. Possibly. I don't know why I think that they've done so many like test studies, like, hey, here's what works. So I feel like they got a hold of some weird like coyote and roadrunner going in and out of doors. So like, oh, that was a huge hit. I saw that once. Let's put that in there. No context at all.
Yeah.
That
explains a lot of this movie, actually. Like, yeah, well, we gotta have
everybody go around the room, say what your favorite thing is in any cartoon ever. We'll put it all together and we'll make it work. Yeah,
that's true. It literally does have a flower pot falling on Snoopy's head at one point, but the flower stays perfect, and Snoopy's right. Like, "Ooh, good." Like,
that's true. Oh my God.
Yeah, that is. Molly and I, because we've watched very many of these specials now, and there's so many more to go. this is our last episode. They betray everything that I love about, and the specials and the movies at their worst betray everything that I love about the strip, which is sort of this anxiety drenched Zen perfection.
Yeah.
These simple pencil lines, these simple colors, these kids who are grappling with very adult things, all of that kind of gets thrown out. And then it's just like you said, it's just like Tom and Jerry bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's so much of it in this movie. And yet it's still dreadfully boring.
Yeah, that's the thing. It should at least be fun if it's going to go away from like the existential dread of the rest of the series. Right. Make it funny.
Or figure out in those cartoons what is funny is the sound effects. You guys have put no sound effects in.
No.
You've just given me a terrible song.
Good point.
There's no whoop, whoop, whoop. There's nothing to be like, no, okay, that's that was fun. I had a good time with it.
That's
good points.
I never thought of that, Renee. That's a really good point. Yeah, all the other guys, certainly Hanna-Barbera had their bag of tricks, Warner Brothers, but there's no personality. It's almost like they were depending on people coming in and like, look, you've bought the Happy Meal, you've watched the specials, you have the blanket.
Sure. Yeah.
You just look. What you're do gonna you want? Watch it. You want to see Snoopy do shit for 80 minutes?
Yeah.
That's all we got. It's a screensaver.
Yeah. It's so true. But the things they do have that do work for me is Snoopy crying or Snoopy laughing. Mm. Boy, do I love both of those sounds.
Those are
I would watch an 80-minute film on Snoopy at the dentist, just laughing with laugh gas. Just.
That's a good impression. Well, now, not a lot of people know this, Renee. Yeah. He was originally cast as the Bill Murray part in Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
But he had a contract with Schultz and he couldn't get out of it.
Yeah, it's all contract in that time.
That makes sense. That tracks. He
would have been great. Candy bar!
I really think so much of it is just they had to make room for all of them Golden Sherman Brothers lyrics, and they maybe overestimated the appeal of the Sherman Brothers material.
By a lot.
Just a little bit. Because like Vince Guaraldi's...
I'll say this for fundamental, whatever the fuck. It's peppy, because it's literally...
Oh, it is nothing if not peppy.
Literally, you want to talk about dancing as fast as you can. Like, that's like Clara got into her mom's diet pills or something.
Yeah. Today's going to be a great day.
But it is at least peppy and memorable, whereas all of the other songs in the movie are just sort of these kids love Lush arrangements.
They love Lush arrangements and Monopoly.
Yes.
No. I know kids.
You know one thing.
I think I do.
Well, because at least with Vince Guaraldi, it was mostly instrumental, so you could put, sound effects and sort of Snoopy hijinks over it. But there's like no room to breathe in a Sherman Brothers song. Yeah.
No, we gotta hear every single beautiful phrase. Like, what is it? Here we are just jumping and jibing.
About the status quo. Like,
on our way now, gonna make it happen. And all systems are go. A-OK now, rambling and rapping, shaking the status quo.
There is nothing worse than 70s lingo sung in lush choral arrangements.
Yep.
Like, our friendship's really jibing. Like, now suddenly you've got like some Carnegie Mellon kids. Like, just singing them in a tight harmony. And it's like, oh, this is the least cool thing. There's nothing cool about it. Mm-hmm. And Vince Guaraldi brought cool.
Mm-hmm.
Not that these have to be, but they have to be something.
They should have an angle.
Yes.
There's no angle.
No angle.
Yes.
Is this cool? Is it funny? Is it dumb? I mean, it's dumb, but like, what are you going
for? In their defense, if their angle is boring, they knocked it out of the park. They knocked it out of the park.
And we were talking about existential dread for a while. And the thing is about this movie is that it is either kind of nothing or it is Charlie Brown and other children being like, Charlie Brown is suicidally sad in this movie.
Yes.
Yeah, it's too far.
Yeah.
I think also in the other ones, he's kind of like more questioning, like, I'll always go back to the Christmas special because it's the best one, but it's like, I don't know, what is this? What is capitalism? What is Christmas? What is this? And in this one, he's like taking a hard line that he's mad at the dog, and he's like, I think it's too decided. Do you know what I mean?
He's mad. Actually, that's a great point. He's mad. His journey is he's mad about the dog. He's sad about the dog.
Right.
And then the dog comes back. And then he's mad again.
Like, yeah, I think it would have been like more in line with the Peanuts thing to be like, what is the nature of like human dog relationship? I don't know. Like,
or the nature of friendship.
Sure.
Or what
sure.
happened when a friend moves.
Right.
Or
what do you
anything
do?
Anything like that.
Right.
There are so many different ways they could have gone about like, how do we in this universe cope with loss?
Right, exactly.
It's not like anyone's ever going to die.
No.
But at the very least, it can be like friends move away. People change.
Right.
People get divorced. This is a thing that we don't want to get into too much, but must be said. While this movie was being produced and when it came out, Charles Schultz's marriage was falling apart.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We could definitely get into that if you wanted to. That would explain everything.
It does. It definitely makes a lot of things make sense.
Absolutely.
And why the movie was sort of weirdly bled of joy.
Yeah. Because, and I think you hit the nail on the head with coping. Like, nobody has coping skills in this. Nobody.
Yeah.
Snoopy doesn't. Mm-hmm. Lucy doesn't. Linus doesn't. Charlie Brown. And just nobody can cope.
Yeah. Well, so. Lucy at least is, she's just like, well, you should just disown him.
Sure.
Yes. Well, yes. Let's
which
talk
I'm not
about.
Even sure what the legal procedure is for disowning
who
a
knows?
Dog.
Who knows?
I prick with the yeah. throw dog poop on their shoes.
When they're trying to find Snoopy, Lucy makes the first call to the Humane Society and indicates, like, they've asked what kind of dog is it, and she immediately is like, well, I don't know, a bagel. Just hangs up the phone immediately that she can't put up with it. She can't put up with trying to describe Snoopy.
I've only ever seen one dog. I don't know. Looks like a dog.
There's only one in this entire universe. Before she calls the Humane Society, though, I would like to jump back a bit. Because, again, there are a lot of, like, artificial ways that they try, like, all right, we have nothing in our plot, so let's at least have a set piece that'll be fun to look at, quote-unquote fun. Charlie Brown is, like, sitting on his front stoop, miserable. Lucy's like, if you ask me, that dog should just go die in a fire. Well, I'm out. It's weird you don't agree with me on this. I guess go fuck yourself and goodbye movie. Yeah. I'm gone for the rest of the movie, basically. I'm going to take off. We pull back and an entire fucking carnival, an entire theme park has been built next door to Charlie Brown's house that nobody has noticed up until this point.
It was very fast to build one in the 70s.
Yes.
It wasn't, like, up to code.
No. They didn't care about safety.
No.
At all.
They're like, put it up. It's fine.
It's fine. Good. Don't test it. Go. Sell tickets.
Yeah, it'll probably be fine.
And Peppermint Patty's like, hey, you know, you got to get back out there. You got to, like, we gotta cheer you up. Let's go walk around. Let's go have a set piece.
Yeah.
Which feels like it would be a great place for a song. And there is not one.
Yeah. There's a swinging sort of car. Well, I think we'll drop in a quote here of Peppermint Patty, like, explaining to Charlie Brown, like, well, I've just buried my problems and I just move on with my life.
Right. Oh, nobody likes a moody person.
Right. And
that's right.
Something about being alone. And it's got this, like, peppy carnival music going under it.
You can't let yourself get into a mood like this. I know you miss Snoopy. I miss him, too. But if you let yourself get into a mood, no one will want to be around you. No one likes a moody person, Chuck. Take it from me. I learned a long time ago that if you go around in a mood feeling sorry for yourself, you do it alone. And I mean alone, Chuck.
Like, you gotta suck it up and bury your feelings because we live in the Midwest. Or do we? Because there's a beach. I don't know. I'm Peppermint Patty.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Charlie Brown is bad at everything. He seems to have, like, some weird specific gravity field unique only to himself. Maybe that was also part of the event.
Maybe.
Because he tries and throw a dart and the dart just goes, like, into space. Like, it just, he's terrible at everything. And then they go on a Ferris wheel and... what is Peppermint Patty's exact words?
Does your kind ever think about love, Chuck? What do you mean, my kind?
And now we're in a completely different movie.
Yeah. Yeah. All over the place at this carnival.
I would have...
It's those kids took a lot of mushrooms.
And it got weird.
It's not even open. They're the only kids in there. They're just snuck in.
Yeah. Everything's running. But she, like, tries to... establish, because this is a thing that Peppermint Patty does a lot of, but she always kind of asks it as a weird question or a statement. She's always like, you're pretty sweet on me, right?
I'm pretty great.
Yeah.
You got the hots for me.
Hey, who loves me? Raise your hand. yeah. And she is trying to, like, see if he likes her, and he's dumb. And it's just.
She's dumb, in fairness.
Oh, that's true.
I think they're both dumb.
You're right. I was being really unfair. I apologize to the room. And nothing happens. And it's a self-closed loop. Mm-hmm. I have this, a friend of mine that I was working with many years ago was like, if you can take a scene out of a movie and it has no effect on the plot whatsoever, it should not be in the movie. Mm. I propose to you, this movie is made of nothing but parts that could be removed wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing happened. And I will also say this, just to go back. I don't know how you guys feel about local carnivals. I feel like if I was sad... that would be literally the worst place in the world for me to
cheer. Oh, of course it would be. Of course it would be. Yes, Charlie Brown, what are you doing? That's a terrible place to go.
I'd go to, like, a county fair. If it's at that level, I'm going to get happy.
Okay.
If it's too small, though, it seems sad.
Yeah. I think Allegra and I usually are like, what kind of snacks are we talking? We talking funnel cake? We talking caramel apple?
That's a great place to go. If you just like gone through a breakup or your dog left or whatever, like, yeah, I'll go. I'm not going to go on the rides because I think they're too going to be like broken. It's not going to work. I'm going to die. But like, I'll eat a bunch of food for sure.
Yeah, especially giant spinning barrel.
Yes.
The weirdest a ride I am wholly unfamiliar with, and so they might have just made it up.
70s. It was different time.
Yep. Different time. Hey, kids, here's just a giant tube that we're going to spin and you're going to fall over.
Whoopee. Maybe Lila got hurt in the barrel, and that's maybe this is like a 70s.
Oh, no.
It's like a world we don't understand. We weren't around in the 70s. It's the whole thing.
Yeah, that's it. Case closed. That's it. Yeah.
Snoopy and Woodstock walk some more, and nothing happens there. They try and get on a bus. They try and get on a train. They try and do whatever. No dogs allowed. We go back to the kids. They are... Is this when they are walking around in a circle?
Yes. Well, even if it's not, let's talk about that.
Oh, and also the way that they got away from Kathy Bates, she went into the vet like Jurassic Park feeding time. There was like animals shaking, the vet shakes, and then all of a sudden they're free. And what happened in the vet?
That's a really good question.
I can't believe we forgot about Kathy Bates. Thank you for bringing us back.
I know. I think we were trying to just blank her out.
She's really scary.
She left me scarred. She's like, not a fun character.
How is he going to get out of this? But then she goes into the vet and dies, I'm to assume. By other animals attacking her, and all of a sudden they're free? What is happening?
It's the animal activist from 12 Monkeys. just right then.
Yeah.
That was like, this is when we're going to free all the monkeys
here. We're going to get them.
That we're keeping in this neighborhood for some reason. Yeah, well, that's a really good point. It's like, not only do we never have anything happen in this movie, the few times that a thing happens,
right?
Well, that'll just be behind closed doors.
Sure.
Make up your own movie, kids.
Does Sally ever learn how to read? Who knows?
No, who cares?
Exactly. We're definitely not going to button this up for you. Absolutely not.
We got nothing but loose ends. This is an era of macrame. Just macrame and guy's eyes.
Just a fringe collar on this whole special.
So Snoopy runs and runs, and the kids are sad and sad. And then Snoopy finally makes it to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And it may seem like we're leaving stuff out. There's nothing. Snoopy makes it to the hospital. Of course, there are no dogs allowed. Or birds.
Yeah, or birds.
Yeah,
this time.
No dogs allowed.
No dogs allowed.
No dogs allowed.
That goes for birds.
What happened? That they had to get that, like, they painted the sign and someone was like, Phil, hang on. Maybe if Molly and I were
detect a bird-shaped loophole in this plan.
Oh, no. You know what? If we don't say birds, then we're going to get those weird guys who hang out in like city parks and on college campuses who are like, hey, I'm the guy who happens to have a bird on my shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
I also like to believe a magician came in at one point to entertain the kids and did the old dove appears, and it went awry.
Oh, yeah.
Just doves all over. Maybe. Doves a flutter, and they had to put up a sign.
Perhaps an avian flu outbreak.
That would explain a lot. Again, would explain a lot.
Right. Yep.
Cats, horses, fine.
Yeah. We haven't had any problems. Yeah, exactly. Signs only go up after there's a problem.
Yeah. Snoopy and Lila are reunited. Lila finally gets to talk. And she says she's feeling so much better already. And then they play what are more boring games? Let's play checkers.
What do you do with someone in the hospital? Well, sit, I guess.
Yeah.
Play checkers, play
and
jello.
And they did.
We throw back to, Linus. He has finally taken the initiative to just like pick up a phone and call fucking anybody to find out. And Lila was Snoopy's previous owner.
You are not Snoopy's original owner. Snoopy and Lila loved each other very much, but they had to move, and the family decided they just couldn't keep Snoopy, so they returned him.
So that's why Snoopy left. I'll bet he wishes he was still her dog instead of mine.
But somehow Linus got the intel that they loved each other very much, which I'm not sure how that would be in the public record.
Yeah.
maybe when they returned Snoopy to the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm, they were like, no, let me just... This is because you're moving, right? Like, no, we love this dog. He can cook. Yeah, we're really, and they made a note like, they loved him very much.
They loved him very much. Yeah, in case a kid calls later, we want to make sure we note that.
Yeah.
That scene, Charlie cannot handle it. He's tipping over every time Linus delivers a new line. Just stunned, shocked, to the point where Linus is like, you're going to be shocked by this, and he is immediately shocked. Just cannot handle this.
Yeah, he's got like the vapors and like narcolepsy. He's turned into like one of those fainting goats.
Yeah.
You got a used dog, Charlie Brown.
Can't keep it together.
What sort of revelations about your dog would justify tipping over like that?
Right.
Oh man.
Delightful. I laughed at that part. I really enjoyed that scene. That was a lot of fun for
Anytime
me.
Anytime Charlie Brown suffers, I feel good about myself. Yeah. I think we can all agree on that.
That's the enduring appeal of the Peanuts canon.
Yes.
Just watching Charlie Brown's misery and feeling schadenfreude.
If you learned something about Pistachio from her former life, what
Ooh.
Would...
If I learned she was like, because Pistachio was small, if I learned there was like some amount of Great Dane in her or something, like if I got a DNA test back that was like, we're sure she's a Great Dane, I might fall over. What else would be surprising? If someone was like, she never used to bark, that would be surprised. She wasn't annoying before this. I would fall over.
So cute on Instagram, though.
She's adorable. So she's very cute. I mean this in a loving way. She's a very annoying dog. Yeah, I don't know. I think one of the only things I know about her previous life is that when she was living with her foster family before me, they were once driving and had her in the back seat and had the window partially down and she jumped out the window. But like, that doesn't surprise me now. I'm like, yeah, no. It sounds like
a statue.
That tracks completely.
I didn't fall over when she told me that.
Yeah. How with the tugboat is your
Yeah, name? Good job. Very good. I just got him, so I'm impressed that you remember the name. Tugboat, he's a border collie pit bull mix. I would be surprised if they were like, he was so shy. Just so... because now he is positive that everybody wants to be his best friend. So if anybody were to be like, yeah, I don't know, it took him a while to come out of his shell, I'd be like, why did you do that? Keep him in his shell.
He's too friendly.
He's too friendly.
I try to think, maybe, like, murder?
Oh, sure.
Well, you know, Banjo killed a guy.
Oh, yeah.
It was a card game. It went wrong. It was dogs playing poker.
Yeah.
Except it's the part they didn't paint.
Yes.
Where it was like, hey, wait a minute. You're holding another ace with your paw under the. Now it's fighting.
And like, Han Solo style, shoot somebody under the table.
Yeah. Banjo is sleeping like a little angel right now. He's just angelic.
Truly is. Yeah. Paws perfectly in place, crossed over. Like
just
a little oblivious
to our accusations. Yes.
Is there anything that Sumi could have done that is Molly's cat? And we will open this up to cats.
Well, she's not had a life outside of living in our house, as far as I'm concerned.
You've had her since kitten?
She had a good 4 weeks without Ben and then was in his life. But like, if it was something like, well, she's actually got the Benjamin Buttons thing and she's growing backwards or something like that. She actually used to be much, much bigger.
Yeah. I will say this in Charlie Brown's defense. If Banjo one day was like, hey guys, I'm so sorry. I got a jet.
Yeah.
And then was just like, phew. I think I'd probably be bedridden for a couple weeks.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I would be a mess.
Absolutely. Just the handing back the collar element. I'd be like,
devastating.
Oh, God, you don't need me.
I would go, I almost feel like I don't know if there's dog and pet therapy, but I feel like somebody needs to step in.
If it would be anywhere, it would be in Los Angeles.
No, that's true.
Yep. Yep. Good point.
I hope there's that. I want to go to that. Yeah. I feel like everyone could benefit from that.
This, maybe Allegra. I don't know if you're looking for like a spinoff show or something. Like a Dr. Drew type kind of thing.
Ooh,
I kind of love it.
That's a pretty great pitch.
Dog for rehab.
It? Dog rehab.
Dog court.
That's really
dog court.
That's a little too.
Yeah.
That's a lot of shows.
Well, it can be part of the block.
Yeah.
If you don't tell me what happened to Snoopy, I'll go crazy.
While Snoopy and Lila and Woodstock are getting reacquainted and eating what looks like delicious hospital food, this girl is not sick. They are giving her like sandwiches and ice cream sundaes and just, we throw back to the Peanuts gang and they are standing in the middle of a field, hunched over and walking around in a circle like fucking monks or something. Like, unidentifiable as human behavior.
Like a tiny garbage color guard routine that they're doing.
The worst Buzz Berkeley musical number ever. The Snoopy Come Home theme is playing, and each one of them just takes a minute to look out to the camera, and like, and Linus is like,
"You wanted my blanket. I wouldn't let go. He left because I was hostile and unkind to him.
Oh, also, he broke both of my kneecaps. And I guess I was pretty salty about it."
Now, with the divorce in mind, do you think that maybe one of the lines that got cut was like, "She just wanted me to listen to her, and I did it," and then they were like, "It's too close. It's too close to home. Nope. You can't say that.
Too close
I
to
know
the
you're
sun.
Working through stuff." But maybe not that.
Really great. Most of this really great, honestly. Yeah.
That one's a little transparent.
Yeah.
All the kids crying, great. 100%. Yeah, let's keep that. Keep
perfect. Nothing love happening. It. Terrific. That's fine. Terrible yes. song. Yes. Solid gold. Mm-hmm. If we go this way, I am confident we are going to make back 25% of our budget.
How many punches? 45? Sounds perfect.
Another thing that I did learn from sort of this, I was doing a little research on Snoopy Comes Home. The other thing that I did learn that throughout the strip, the Lucy and Schroeder relationship, which thankfully we get none of, is basically Schroeder being obsessed with Beethoven was a metaphor for Schultz having to write the strip 7 days a week and his first wife being like, "Hey, the rest of us are here too."
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I buy it. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I didn't see it off the bat, but now I see it. I'll never think of anything else.
That's real interesting.
It's interesting. Yeah, no, Schultz was a complicated dude. And this is, there are so many interesting concepts that they're wrestling with here, none of which they really.
Wrestling is a very good term for it.
Well,
yeah.
It's punching.
Yeah. A lot of punching.
Yeah. Yeah, they could have done it in a more. The concepts are interesting. The execution is not. It could have been a lot more.
They just don't wrap anything up. Everything is started, and then nothing has.
There's no thesis to it. Yeah.
So we have the kids walking around in a circle, hunched over, and each one of them is like, "This is why it's my fault." Peppermint Patty's like, "I guess I just came on too strong.
I should have told him what time.
I shouldn't have listed all of the food I was going to put in the basket.
I should have picked a dog friendly beach."
Yeah.
She doesn't know he's a dog.
Touche.
Good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a kid with a funny nose. No kids with funny noses allowed.
No funny nose. No nose.
So we're back to the hospital, and Lila's like, "Hey, I being surrounded by an animal and by a dog and a bird in close quarters, for however much longer I've been here, I'm all better. I'm cured of something and I can go home. And Snoopy, why don't you settle your affairs and then come live with me?"
That's right.
Because I think she's also sort of implying like, "You're keeping me alive, Snoopy."
Oh, yeah.
That's
guilt
it.
Is heavy.
Yeah.
I think sometimes an illness can humble you, can make you grateful. That was not the case.
Are you implying it's made her mad with power, Renee?
Yes. Very demanding. Yeah. Here's what I want. Here's what I deserve.
So, yeah. Snoopy, you'll come live with me, right?
Yeah. Precisely. Yeah. I didn't like it. I didn't care for it. Yeah. No.
But Snoopy decides, fine. I will, and he goes home. Charlie Brown is now at the point where you almost expect him to just be wearing like a shit covered potato sack. Like he's just like, "Snoopy, you're home. How's Lila? How are things? What?" And he's just gonna fall to the ground and swallow his tongue.
"Hey, you're back. I heard about Lila. Did you see her? Was she well? Where did you stay all the time you were gone? Was Lila nice to you? Why didn't you write? Are you hungry? Are you well? Can I do anything for you?"
Yeah, it's way too much.
Yeah.
Snoopy splits up his earthly possessions to all of the kids in town.
Mm-hmm.
Schroeder gets his record collection. Linus gets his, like, frisbee golf set or something.
Croquet. This reminds me of a thing that happened earlier that we didn't mention. Like, in the time that Snoopy was gone, He writes like some like letter to the editor, like, I wasn't allowed on a dog beach and I'm a taxpayer. No, I'm not a taxpayer.
Yeah.
But I think that this should be changed. And when he's gone, Charlie Brown says something like, he writes all these letters to the editor. He never writes letters to me.
Yeah.
Which is an excellent point. Like, your dog speaks and understands English and never communicates this to you except when he needs something.
Yeah.
And I completely understand. Like, well, I guess if you could receive letters from your dogs, would you want to? Would you want to know what their interior monologue is?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I did. I, that was when I used to have a column on a friend's website, dearly departed, the yearbook office, and I would occasionally write letters from Banjo.
I've done that too with Pistachio. That's so funny. Not on that site, but on a different site.
Oh, cool.
That's so funny.
It's fun. And I think in a way we all kind of get that. Molly, you brought up something really interesting before we started recording, was that for a lot of us, because like I said, I didn't grow up with pets, Snoopy was sort of like, I knew instinctively, like, dogs aren't going to pretend to be World War I flying aces and grocery checkout folks. But that was my first impression of dog ownership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I took a lot of things, and I think, and obviously when I would like write those letters from Banjo, that's Snoopy. Like, that's a straight riff from Snoopy.
Yeah, sitting on top of the Banjo house with his typewriter.
Asking for chicken. What do you think Tugboat would write to you in a letter if he could?
Oh, sure. Right now I have a running bit where he is a full-on pit bull in the face, but he's got that border collie fluffy ears. So I think it is funny for me for him to say that his ears are very sharp and very spiky, because they're not. They're very, very soft. So I would love for him to talk about how tough he is.
You know,
he's the softest dog in the world.
He sends you a letter like, just so you know, I'm
just
tough.
So we're clear. My ears are very spiky. Please watch your hands. I've seen in the mirror. Very spiky. Mm-hmm.
They're not. They're
don't touch me. You'll cut yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would Stash write to you?
So in the letter, I wrote a couple of letters from her to me on the site called the Higgs Walden.
Lucia, our friend Lucia, draws cartoons for them occasionally.
That's right. Yeah. It's a really fun site. It's awesome. So in my letters, in her letters to me, excuse me, it was like very melodramatic request for food, which is what I perceive from her. To me, every request from her is like really over dramatic. I just have never seen her like, every time she clearly wants something, it's like, it's way too hard. It's like, I've never eaten in the last week. I've never done, like, I need to do this right now. And it's like, it's so urgent for me right now. I just think everything she would ask for would be like really over the top.
Like a drama. It's not as much letters as they are like a concert writer.
Yeah,
like,
kind of.
Oh, I need just green M&Ms.
Yeah.
Yes.
But with kind of more of like a, or I'm going to die, like overtone.
Right. What were Banjo's? What did he write about?
So nice, though.
I think he'd write about Kayla a lot.
Oh, sure.
He's a real mama's boy.
Yeah.
Like sappy poetry. And then.
That'd be so cute.
Like
so cute.
Real seventh grade. Your eyes are like limpid pools. Oh. Also, you feed me.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
What an angel.
And a request for even more soft things for him to lay on. Mm-hmm. What would Sumi write to you?
Oh, I think it would just be, could you, you keep putting the towels away. Could you like leave those out for me to sit on, please?
Oh, yeah.
That sort of thing.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just,
please put carpet on.
Just post-it notes like a passive aggressive roommate.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I noticed you put the towels away.
What is a cat if not a passive aggressive roommate?
Oh, absolutely.
we are now, thank God, bringing this baby in for a landing into the third act. Snoopy is resolute. He's given away all of his earthly possessions, which is, there's something very, like, he writes it like a last will and testament, which is just super weird.
Yeah.
And then they have a going away party, which is like a...
It's like a living wake, basically.
Oh, it's so weird.
But it's also a grand finale for Tear Technology.
Because
it is
a real showpiece.
Like fireworks at the end. Special, just tears and tears and tears. Tears.
The kids get up and they each give speeches. And Linus is like, you know, he's like the master of ceremonies. Lucy's like, he's not a great dog, but then again, who is?
I've only seen one dog in my life.
Yeah, again, so I have.
As far as I know.
Yeah.
I wonder if at any point Peppermint, they ditch it entirely for the purpose of this because everybody gives him a bone as a going away gift. And I wonder if Peppermint Patty is like, why are they giving this kid bones?
That's funny.
He must really like bones, I guess.
He must really like bones. And then there's just
crying. Does he have a dog?
He must have just got a dog. That makes sense.
It's weird that I don't know. I must come on too strong. I wonder why I didn't bring him to the beach. Oh, no dogs. Everyone cries and cries and cries, and then Schroeder plays Long Way to the Tipperary, and everyone cries and cries and cries and cries. Allegra, did you think it was? Did you think that scene was ever going to end?
No, of course not. I didn't think any of this was ever going to end. They mercifully did. It was another weird. Everything in this, every next scene in this movie is so tonally weird and different from the one before.
There is zero uniformity of tone.
Yeah, it was baffling.
And the baffling. Like the wake ceremony, like you would think, like, oh, we'll just show a few of the friends giving a bone. You see every single friend, all 14 friends, hand him a bone.
Everything is real time in this movie.
It's crazy.
and then Snoopy is on his way. He puts his doghouse up for sale or to let.
Mm-hmm.
Or as Molly pointed out when we were watching it, any child would just think that said toilet.
That's true. Yes. And it should.
A small thought exercise. If you were the child version of yourself watching this, what would you have been thinking by the time it's an act three of Children Cry?
Shoot, gosh, that's
would you a good be like,
point.
I want to go home? Would you be crying? I, for the life of me, I don't remember. I mean, I must have been caught up in it. It must have worked on me because when I saw this movie decades later, I was like, Snoopy Come Home's pretty good. Pretty good movie. Look at this. I saw it when I was five.
Pretty good blandish.
Pretty good. Pretty well blandish.
I don't know. Did you guys, like, cartoons were special because it wasn't like we didn't have Netflix and we didn't have like any of that. So anything that was animated, you're like, yes, I'm in. I'll love it. It's great. It's fine. Please keep it on. I think I would have convinced myself that it was great. Yeah. Just because it was merely because it was a cartoon.
Is there stuff like that, Renee, that you loved as a kid that you've gone back to and went like, what the fuck?
There's gotta be. Yeah. Not off the top of my head, but maybe. I definitely remember Flight of the Navigator being hysterical. And it's not.
I mean, it's a movie.
It's a movie. It's about, boy, I thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was great. And then
Paul Rubens is it's a Paul Rubens is like the voice of a spaceship. He's uncredited. And at one point he says, see you later, navigator. And as a kid,
I was on like, the floor.
Bravo! Bravo! How about you, Allegra?
God, I'm trying to remember. I feel like I was of the same mindset. It's really tough for me to remember a cartoon I didn't like.
But something you revisited.
Oh, something I've revisited. God, what if I revisited and it was bad? I revisited Aristocats, which is not a bad movie, but it has some really racist parts. That can be said for any old movie.
Also a Sherman Brothers piece.
Common thread.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say I didn't like it. Like,
No, there are things that you can see in it, like, oh, that's probably, I mean, Disney movies, like,
yeah, it's like, yikes.
Chock-a-block.
Yeah.
As far as just like, oh, this is garbage. I can't believe I was into this.
I don't think I have that, do you guys?
The other hand, Lex and I just watched 101 Dalmatians, and holy cow, does that hold up?
It was so good.
So good.
So good. Way better than I remember.
So good.
I don't think, not only have I, I think I had the LP. I saw it as a kid, and they got me like the Disney read-along, record.
Sure.
But I think when I think of 101 and Dalmatians, I think of it in terms of like, oh, that was the point. That was the pivot point for Disney animation where they started, using Xerox technology and not drawing everything by hand and blah, blah, blah. But it's good.
It is good.
I should see it.
Yeah, it's so good.
You will.
I haven't watched it as an adult and it was like, it was the opposite of, Snoopy Come Home in that when it ended, I was like, that was so short. I wish there was more.
Yeah. Leave them wanting less.
Yeah.
The Snoopy Come Home motto. Anything that you liked as a kid, Molly, that you've gone back and revisited and been like, oops.
I kind of tended to fixate on singular things when I was a kid. And so there's just sort of, I'm so steeped in nostalgia for certain things that I can't penetrate that now as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that happens a lot with these Peanuts specials, actually. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of things where, like, I haven't seen them, but other people I know have such a deep sort of nostalgia for them that I don't have. Like, I saw Nightmare Before Christmas for the first time and was like, oh, I don't know if this would've... Or, like, Blazing Saddles was one where I was like, I didn't see this as a kid and I think I need to revisit it later. You know?
gotta get in a different mindset.
Yeah. That's Star Wars fair. Is that for me.
Yeah.
I only saw it first Star Wars movie like a year ago, and it was so boring, you guys.
Because like episode one, I was in the Target demo for episode one, and that sheen wore off real fast.
Yeah.
Oh, very quickly.
Which one out of curiosity?
I saw A New Hope. I don't remember which number that is. I don't care. It's one I saw. It was fine. It was just so boring and long.
There is a whole segment that they took out, which I only saw very recently, because George Lucas was coming off American Graffiti, and I think they were like, the studio was like, let's get a little of that flavor in there. So there's a scene where Luke like goes to a local bar with his buddies, and they talk about like their cars and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's like 20 minutes. It's like, oh my God, I'm so glad this was not in that movie.
Yeah.
But back to this movie.
Yeah.
Snoopy says goodbye to everybody. He puts his doghouse up for rent. He hugs Woodstock goodbye because...
Because he's going to fall on a grade. He's a liability.
Can't have it.
Sorry, man. No birds. And Snoopy walks to Lila's. Lila lives in a very nice part of town.
Very mm-hmm. nice part of
yeah,
town.
I got a lot
Lila.
Of questions about Lila.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's this is literally,
get into it.
This is why we invented this podcast.
All right, great.
What do you want to know about Lila?
I just want to know. I want to know her background. I want to know what her parents' deal is. I'm suspecting, the more we talk about it, that her mom or dad has Munchausen by proxy, which is that weird disease where you poison or hurt your children because you like the medical attention they get. And the more I think about Lila, she's better in the hospital immediately the second she's away from her parents. I don't know. Just a little suspicious to me.
No, it's pretty good.
Yeah, no, that's a solid theory.
Thank you.
I like that one a lot. I also, because of how fancy her apartment is. Uh-huh. Is Lila getting work done? maybe getting a little nose job?
Oh, that's why they didn't want to say it, because it's like kind of uncouth to say that. Maybe. Like, what's wrong with her? Don't worry about it.
It's fine.
Yeah.
She does kind of look like a pageant.
Sure.
Yeah. She's such a disturbing character. Like, just with all these unanswered questions, it's like, yeah. Oh, something's... This is too young a child to have all these
were
questions
her little
about.
House shoes being permanently put on her feet? Is that...
It's cuter that way.
Well, and she talks in that sort of like Miss America speech, yeah. Kind of. That's like,
I didn't check who in the voice talent was adults and who were children. Mm. Lila definitely sounds like an adult doing a young person voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Which that's I not think great.
Lends to her weird otherworldliness.
Yeah.
She's just odd. The song they give her is odd. It's very haunting.
Yeah.
It's very like Wuthering Heights.
There's a bit of, you know, the figure eight is double four, figure it four, like sort that. Of that, sort yeah, of Blossom Deary. Not as good, no.
Is that Blossom Deary?
It is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whoa. Nerds.
You guys know a lot of trivia.
Work.
I love that song. I had no idea who it is.
Snoopy shows up at her front door. And you sense that he's sad, but he's doing this like at it. Like, if I'm not here, this kid's going to die.
Right. Do what I got to
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
And then he sees the no dogs allowed sign. And she shows up. She's like, hey, it's great that you're here. Here's my cat. My parents can't wait to see you. Got a lot of catching up to do from that month and a half that you were my dog.
Yeah.
1,000 fucking years ago. So many stories to tell. Come on. Oh, no. No dogs allowed.
Just realized this.
Yeah.
Hey, it just occurred to me. Maybe she's like Sally and she just didn't want to learn how to read.
That's possibly.
But she can't, well, we don't know what her letter said. It could have just been like a picture of a hospital.
Oh, that's true.
A little drawing of her little heart.
Yep. Never noticed it. Snoopy comes home. Everybody's cheering and there's another terrible song and they put him up on their shoulders and everything's great. And then Snoopy's like, hey, all that shit that I gave you. You gotta give that shit back.
Mm-hmm. That's
and then
fair.
Everybody's like, hey, you know what, Snoopy? You just go fuck yourself in the rain right now. Out of here. And everybody storms away. And Charlie Brown's like, you know what, Snoopy? You're fucking garbage. And then that's the end of the movie.
That is it.
He came home on a technicality, guys. There weren't dogs allowed. So he's like, well, he didn't come home because he was like, you know what? Charlie Brown was all right after all. Right?
I am welcome no place but here.
Yeah. It's
so
like,
here
Jesus.
I was.
Saying.
It was so obvious that I wanted to picture the room where they were like initially pitching it. They were like, and then it's no dogs allowed. No dogs now. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. So then he finally gets to Lila's, right? and it's no dogs allowed.
And they thought like that was the biggest reveal.
Yeah.
And like, wow.
Yeah, no, we saw that coming from a mile away. Yeah, we know. We know.
We're just going to let you do this anyways because we're selling a lot of stuffed animals, yeah. A lot of coffee mugs, a yeah. lot of plates, a lot of bullshit with Snoopy on them. Do whatever you want, Charles.
Yeah.
You little money-making machine. And then that, and then the end. And then we see, like, Snoopy types the credits and we see, like, the actual humans who made the movie, only they're all wearing funny hats.
All wearing hats.
And it's just...
No hats allowed, you guys.
Yeah, did you also see it was all the boys and then all the girls?
Yeah.
Didn't love that. Didn't no. love it. Didn't love it. No. Yeah. Mm. Put some girls in there at top. Up top.
It was 1972.
1972.
There weren't girls yet.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I got to get this right. Exactly. Monopoly 1904. Right. Women... 74.
Okay. Mono somewhere in there.
So that, and that brings us to the, but I want, because we have two, basically, America's dog experts.
Thank
America's
you.
Two dog experts. What advice? Let's actually, you know what? Let's pilot your show right now, Allegra.
Great, finally.
Snoopy and Charlie Brown come into your office.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you sort of, like, Charlie Brown explains to you kind of the events of Snoopy Come Home.
Mm-hmm.
Do the two of you have, as pet owners and pet experts,
mm-hmm.
pet podcasters, what is the advice you would give Charlie Brown and Snoopy to help their relationship?
I'm going to say a lot more communication is necessary. And Charlie Brown, you have a unique opportunity. I wish to God I could ask my dog, hey, like, why are you doing this? I mean, I guess we've established that Snoopy doesn't write Charlie Brown letters, but I've never seen Charlie Brown ask. And I feel like communication goes both ways. So yeah. If you want to know what someone is feeling, hey man, Charlie Brown, ask. Snoopy, offer it a little more. Let's yeah. get some communication going on. I feel like there are a ton of cross wires here, you guys. No, like, there's no reason for either of you to be this mad at each other. We just get to talk about some things. I just feel like no one is talking here, even though it's like Snoopy, very eloquent, especially for a dog.
Yeah.
Let's all use our words here.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's my advice.
Any other thoughts?
No, I think that's spot on. Well, and I think, right into therapy. Let's get Charlie Brown just straight into therapy with
yeah.
you. And then mm-hmm. I think I would get both of them separately a therapy dog. One for Snoopy, one for Charlie Brown. Just, you know, kind of calm. And then they can talk to each other while petting their own therapy dogs.
Yeah. Isn't Woodstock, in a way, Snoopy's therapy
yes.
bird?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, because he just leaves yeah. him, like, yeah. he just leaves him to go on his journey to life.
And you know how we're best friends and everything?
Yeah.
And how you're a bird and you can kind of live literally fucking anywhere
yeah.
where there are sticks and a tree? Bye.
See ya. Good
and
luck.
No, I would argue, I also think Woodstock, a character I love, I did not realize till watching this was when he was introduced, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he's like the best character in this movie. And you're just going to do away with him? Feature him more. That's my other advice. More Woodstock.
That is really funny. They're like, featuring Woodstock.
Anyway.
Don't blink.
Yeah.
We all miss him.
Yeah. He almost fell through a grate and then he was in a cage.
Yeah, I know. Poor little guy.
Oh, episode 2 of your podcast. What dog ownership advice would you give Corolla?
Oh,
oh gosh.
Yeah. No dogs, I think.
No dogs.
No dogs. Yeah,
no dogs for
She needs like a starter course in like, how do you treat another living thing?
Yeah.
It's so much more basic than that. It's like, I just don't think she's ever like, I get the feeling she loves animals and just no one's ever said like, you know, when you teach a baby, like, this is how you pet a dog softly. Yeah. Like, I don't think anyone's done that with her. Which is no fault of her own.
Yeah.
It's done with the parents first and be like, look, Ma, you have a unique opportunity.
Right.
You're the only addressed parent in maybe this whole series. Let's have a sit down. Teach your kid how to touch an animal. Let's start there.
I like when you said just living things. And for the first month, it's just her throwing plants at a wall. And you're like, nope, not bad. That's, close. Let's try it again.
You know that plant couldn't have spilled tea on itself.
Yeah.
Couldn't have.
Yeah. Hey, please don't spank a dog.
Just don't spank things.
Yeah.
Not a solution.
Just a couple notes.
any final thoughts on this really, really interminable 80 minutes of animated goodness?
Well, girls should know how to read.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's That's what I'll say.
Is that what you learned from this? Have to... Are you going to unlearn how to read now?
Well, I just want to be a good housewife, Josh.
Yeah. Sure. Who doesn't?
Of course.
Any final thoughts from y'all?
I would say I did like the Charlie Brown Linus scene where all Linus is trying to do is say, was it Linus? I think so. Yeah. Trying to say where Snoopy was. That part, good. That was good. That was funny. Other than that, you'd miss it, probably.
That's awesome. Yeah. In fact, I like that. Let's try and say it. We've been pretty brutal on this movie made for babies.
Sure.
Allegra, a nice thing to say about this motion picture?
I will say, I did not hate the music as much as I think you guys did. I mean, the No Dogs Allowed, like, baritone thing, to me, it was funny twice. was it funny the next 17 times? No. It was funny for a minute. I loved Woodstock. I can't give Woodstock enough credit. Mm-hmm. Woodstock, huge boon to the series, introduced weirdly in a bad movie, but, I mean, Woodstock, it's worth it. Well, no, that's a strong word. Worth it, no. Can you watch movies on 1.5 speed like you can podcasts?
Oh.
You can do that.
Yes.
You can?
Yeah, you can.
Great.
Okay.
What year is this?
I describe this as the kind of movie that you would put on mute in a bar.
Yeah.
And you'd be good.
Perfect. In a bar.
Josh, what was your takeaway?
What is the one? Molly, you go first. Is a nice thing to say about this movie.
Oh, I thought that was it. You could put it on mute in a bar. And it'd be pleasant.
Damning with faint praise.
I will say a nice thing about the music as well, Allegra. I like that scene where they're camping and Snoopy pulls out his mouth harp mm-hmm. and Woodstock fashions a crude little four-stringed instrument.
Mm-hmm.
I like that in general. I like their I would go as far as to say that that's the only healthy relationship in this movie.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he goes and saves him from Klurla.
Yeah.
Sort of the only sort of demonstration of actual loyalty in this whole series. Yeah. The whole feature.
If somebody had never seen any Charlie Brown stuff before, would you show this to them?
God, no. I would be so bummed if this was their first impression of it.
Yeah. Right. That I'm like, I promise it's good.
Yeah, like,
I
no, just, you guys.
Hold on, I can explain.
They'd be like, why do you like this so much?
You like Sarah Ravenscroft, right?
Yeah.
Who doesn't? What kid doesn't? If there's one thing kids love, it's Monopoly, Sarah Ravenscroft, and sick little
Let's go
children.
On a wing, ding, ding.
I'm Josh Kagan.
I'm Molly Lewis.
Our guests have been Allegra Ringo and Renee Colvert from Max Fun Cons. Ooh. Max Fun Con. No, that's the con. Max Fun. Maximum Fun.
Yeah, there we go.
Perfect. Yeah, it's I was going to get Max there Fun eventually. Con. We were also from Max Fun Con. It's all those.
Our guests have been Allegra Ringo and Renee Colvert from Maximum Fun Network's Can I Pet Your Dog, which comes out every what day of the week?
Tuesdays.
Every Tuesday. Brand new guests and dogs and dog news. And this has been Peanuts Gallery.
Welcome back, Blockheads. It's Molly. Thank you for listening to the 7th episode of season 2? We're not really sure where this fits in the whole sort of season mapping. We're kind of between seasons at the moment, so we've been calling this our homecoming special. And I'm going to stick with that. We don't have specific details about upcoming episodes at the moment, but I'm going to just tell you what I know. First of all, obviously, we will be revisiting A Charlie Brown Christmas because it has proven to be the gold standard by which all other Peanut specials will be judged, which doesn't come as a surprise to me, honestly, but there's certainly a lot more digging we can do. Unlike Snoopy Come Home, which I feel like we dug about as much as we can and sort of hit the bedrock with Snoopy Come Home. We also have the episodes mapped out for season 3, which will cover the latter half of the 1970s. I'll talk more about that when we get to the Christmas special. Want to tack on a couple quick thank yous? Thank you, as always, to Ken Plume for his blandishment and generally his supportiveness. He will email us random Peanuts trivia sometimes or cool Peanuts products that are on sale. So he's generally a good guy to have in our corner, and we're glad to have him on board. Thank you to Lar D'Souza, who did our podcast art. And I don't think we've talked about that on the podcast before, but Lar D'Souza did our podcast art, and he did an excellent job. Season 3 is going to be popping off sometime in the first quarter of next year. In the meantime, stay in touch. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/peanutspodcast. And we are also on Twitter at twitter.com/peanutspodcast. Josh and I just learned how to make GIFs. It's 2017, and we've just caught on to GIF technology, so check out our Twitter for some hot new GIFs. Jifes, GIFs, fight me. So we will see you in December, and don't forget...
No dogs allowed.
No dogs allowed.